Hey, ding-dongs. This is Jamie Cavanaugh.
This is Richard Lamb.
And this is our new podcast, Explain It to Jamie. Obviously, I'm Jamie, and I need some explaining.
Yeah, and we wanna be clear right off the top. We're not explaining things because Jamie is like a dumb, stupid man.
No, I can be a dumb, stupid man. But most of all, I'm curious, but lack the interest to look this kind of stuff up.
Yeah, you know, Jamie's a smart, curious man who's interested in the world, but doesn't have a, like, massive history and political science background to just be able to, like, do some cash Googling and understand the difficult things about our world.
Exactly. Instead, I Google boobs, and I understand those about as well as anyone who Googles boobs.
That's
amazing.
Right.
Why don't we get right on the topic? We today would like to discuss Vladimir Putin.
All right. And how about, let's start with Jamie. Why do you want to know about Vladimir Putin?
Well, he's in the news a lot right now.
Yeah.
Especially in conjunction with old Donny Trump. And
never heard of him.
And so I don't. We hear a lot about him. I feel like he's really painted. For me, as a person who grows up in Western society, as like the Sith Lord of the East, and I think that there are some biases in that explanation, and I don't really know who he is. I just know that he's sort of the source of a lot of criticism, and so I thought, why don't we get to know old Vlad and maybe grow a little bit as a group?
Yeah, you know, We'll have some times. We'll have some laughs. Yeah. Us and Vlad.
Have some Vlad.
You know, we'll start off very different, and then at the end, we'll look at each other and realize maybe we're not as different as we thought we were.
Yeah, maybe in the same situation, we would all be Vladimir Putin. Maybe.
Maybe.
Who's to say?
Okay, so, like, you know, probably, that Vladimir Putin is the president of Russia.
What?
Yeah.
No, I
He's the current president of Russia. The year is 2017 now.
Right.
He's been the president of Russia. Well, he was first elected in 2000.
Right.
But there was a brief period between 2008 and 2012 where he was not the president and another dude was president.
Wow, okay, already learning stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
I thought that he's been the president since Tsarist Russia.
Since Tsarist. Vladimir Putin is a 117-year-old cyborg.
I knew it!
Yeah. He is ageless. He never sleeps.
Yeah, he's blinked once in his life.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then it was just to show somebody he could on a dare.
So he's been president. Oh man, we're gonna have to do a whole show about the difference between a prime minister and a president,
especially because A, it's different in every country, B, Russia has both a president and a prime minister, and C, Putin has been both.
You see why I asked Richard for advice on this stuff, because he just somehow knows. So he is both. Or has been both.
He was, okay, so remember I said he was first elected in 2000 to the presidency.
Yes.
And then there was a four-year period where he was not the president.
Right.
During those 4 years, he was the prime minister.
Oh, my God.
But the thing is, I mean, we'll get into this probably a little bit more, but what happened was he served like two terms as the president and then, you know, sort of decided it was probably a good idea for, like, democracy if somebody else was the president, and he just didn't keep getting elected the president.
Right.
So he had this dude who was kind of like his caddy, Dmitry Medvedev, who had been working with him for a very long time,
right,
run for president instead. And then when Medvedev was elected president, he appointed Putin the prime minister.
Right.
And then Putin basically ran all this. It was It was pretty clear that Putin ran all the shit even when he was the prime minister.
Well, I can imagine. I think if your prime minister says, I'm not going to be prime minister anymore, now I'm going to be president, and then next weekend I'll be king, and
yeah.
Then after that I'll be the emperor for a bit. So you see, I'm sharing the power just as any good man would.
Well, the joke is that he didn't like the stuff that his, like, puppet president did by himself when he was the president.
Right.
So then the next election, Putin ran for president again and won and took it back.
Right, right. And he was the head of the KGB.
That's right. But that's funny because he was like kind of the head of the KGB. I mean, yes, he was the head of the KGB. It wasn't called the KGB anymore. It was called the FSB.
Right.
And this is in the late 90s.
Right. How inconspicuous.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. We're the not torturing Russian guys.
Yeah, that's right. We're not the KGB anymore. We're the
FSB. Yeah, like a poorly done trick from the usual suspects.
Yeah. No, okay, so he was the head of the FSB in the 90s because Boris Yeltsin, who was the president of Russia, the first president of Russia after the USSR fell, mm-hmm. Boris Yeltsin was in some like pretty serious hot water where like the country was a real piece of shit.
You could say Yeltsin was Meltzin.
Oh my
God. You could say that. Can you believe that that line wasn't written down?
Oh, this is the solid gold material that we knew would flow out of us like a chocolate fondue fountain the second we got these mics rolling.
Okay, so
Boris Yeltsin was the president of Russia in the 90s. He's the first president after the USSR collapses.
Mm.
And Russia was like, it had to do a lot of pretty intense stuff real fast. So the USSR was a centrally planned communist country.
Right.
So what that means is like... the government, nobody owned any companies. The government owned every company and every factory in the country.
Right.
And that meant...
And the workers had a share in each company.
Like,
is that right?
In theory, but they didn't, yes, that is like the theory behind it. It wasn't a very good version of that. It was like, it had all of the Russian Revolution started as a very legitimate socialist revolution where they wanted all the people to have a share in all of the things and profit equally from their businesses and enterprises.
Right.
But then really quickly it became just like another kind of dictatorship with like fun party decorations that looked like socialism. You know what I mean? Like, China and Russia are both like not actually communist. They're like totalitarian oligarchies like North Korea that just have different window dressing. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Anyway.
That's interesting. North Korea gets a whole ton of flack. And
then well, so did
Russia and China get less so.
Well, like Russia under Stalin, right? And China under Mao. It's like they have the same kind of reputations, right? It's like this one creepy cult of personality around the dictator. But then Russia had like a series of presidents who were way less like communist about everything. Russia slowly became less and less like all about the ideal of communism and a lot more just about beating the West, which they didn't do. Because part of what was weird about it was the government like determined everything. That was the central planning. So the if you have a factory that makes like bread, the government's like, hey, you have to make this much bread and you have to send it to these places, right? Instead of in a market society like we have, like the stores order it,
right?
So the demand for the bread picks where the bread goes, right? The people make bread, then they send it where it's getting ordered, right? That's like the roughest version of it. And in the Soviet economy, it came the other way. It came from the government. The government's like, send the bread to here. So what would happen was they'd always make like vastly wrong amounts of shit that was really important. Like they'd either make way too much of something they didn't really need and they always had not enough of stuff that was very important. And it was always getting sent all the wrong places. Like it was getting the places that needed the most shit were never getting it on time. The places that had no need of it had like 10,000 of it. Right.
Just
no
like
sense.
Way too many pogo sticks.
Yeah. I mean,
like what are we going to do with all these pogo sticks?
Yeah, cause it's like, if it's like, you're some dude and it's your job for all of Canada to be like, here's where the grain goes. Like, and you don't have computers, you know, like when you start, you know, it's 1917 when the Russian Revolution happens. Right.
Right.
Anyway, so all this to say, they had to switch Russia's economy from the government telling everyone what to make and where to send it to an economy like ours, where like people own the businesses and you had to, you know, create a market with supply and demand and stuff like that. They had to do that as fast as possible, and it was like a hot disaster. Like it became a big mess where several people became super fucking rich. It was really corrupt, and a lot of people didn't have their lives improved at all. It was like a big... It was a shitty time for a lot of people.
Sure, I remember them talking about that when I was in grade 8.
Yeah. And Yeltsin, all this to say, we're looping back around now. Yeltsin's the president, and people are kind of pissed off at him because the Russian economy is really bad. It's very obvious to a lot of people that, like, that a few businessmen are getting super rich, but most people aren't. Also, crime gets out of control, and this is when the Russian mob becomes really prominent, because one of the main...
Because they can get bread and other people can't, or something.
Yeah, one also, one of the, like, first things they did to try to get money into Russia, when they could finally let foreign money in from the West, was establish tons of casinos in St. Petersburg. And that, like, let, like, organized crime sprung up immediately around that. Right. And it was, like, super corrupt and violent. Like, there was a point in the mid-90s where in St. Petersburg there was one contract killing per day.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. People were getting, like, assassinated over business deals and shit all the time. It was, like, horribly common, and people were over it.
Okay, here's a question. So, so we know, like, so communism... If Russia doesn't have a real communism, and likewise with China, and I think also you can maybe make the argument for, like, Nazi Germany wasn't real socialism.
Dear God, no.
What is it about these countries that sort of make these leaps for a utopian value and immediately jump into dictatorship?
It's an interesting thing. Like, what happens, I mean... I'm not an expert in any of this. I'm just a dude who's read some shit. I feel like the need to say that right now. What happens in almost all of these situations is when you destabilize everything so much, there's always a period of chaos. When you try to change things that much and you succeed in, like, taking away the old order, right, there's a period of chaos where things get kind of bad. At least they always have so far gotten kind of bad. Mm. And in that period of time, it's super easy for one... really ragey nuts dude to take everything over and then, like, remake society the way they want it, right? Like, this is what has happened in almost every major revolution except the American one. The American one was, like, one of the only ones where they, I mean, there was still a lot of fucking horrible problems, but at least they did succeed in creating a democratic country that stayed as a democratic country.
Right.
A lot of the time, either they became dictatorships or... Like there were many revolutions in, like, the French Revolution became a horrible dictatorship that then destabilized again, that became Napoleon, right? The Russian Revolution had a little bit of time with when Lenin was still okay. He was leading the party. But in the 20s, Lenin got really sick, and Stalin, who was kind of like the, like, not, he was like the drummer in the Russian Revolution. No, he was like nobody thought that much of Stalin. He was, like, not a super important guy at first. But he was, like, apparently just a mediocre kind of, like, boorish whackhead,
right,
who thought he was the coolest, smartest, best dude, and just, like, basically beat up, deposed, and murdered all of the other actual revolutionary people and made Russia his own thing.
Right. Okay. Yeah, and I guess in the American Revolution, it started, like, it was capitalist already and was they were jumping back
That's
into
right.
a capitalist
It wasn't
society.
An economic
so it wasn't like
revolution.
They were changing their economy at all.
That's right. They were just changing their system of government. They weren't changing their fundamental economics.
Right, right, yeah. Right. Oh, isn't that interesting? Okay, let's bring it back to old Poohhead.
Yeah.
So he took over in 2000. For a brief period of time, he let, Snoopy the dog take over the country so as to not arouse suspicion. How did he morph it from a democracy into a dictatorship?
Well, I mean, it just has to do with how the elections happen. Like, that's the main thing, is he seems to have concentrated all this power on influencing the elections and suppressing opposition and freedom of speech, right? So it's like, part of it is he keeps the opposition so weak that there's nobody who's going to beat him in an election. And then part of it is that, like, they just, stuff ballots and
right.
lie.
But he's president for life, right? Like, at a certain point, you'd have to change a law saying whoever is elected is president forever.
Yeah, it seems like he will be the president as long as he wants to be, unless he gets, there's, like, a violent coup. That's right. My guess.
Unless he feels like hopping down to prime minister for a bit.
Yeah, right. Just like slumming it as the prime minister for a minute, but then getting so pissed off at what, like, a nerd the guy who replaced you is.
Right, right. I guess I'm trying to, work out at what point do you slide that bill across the table and say, like, say, guys, how about this for an idea?
Well, here's the thing about Putin. Okay, so now we're going to get really into, like, some deep psychology shit. He was never very communist. He was obviously in the KGB that's what was his job, like, when he was young. He was in the KGB. He was never super important in the KGB, and he never did anything particularly fancy, except this one pretty raw thing, which we can maybe get into a little bit, but, like...
I think it'd be good for a podcast to get into raw
okay,
shit.
So, like, so Putin is... Like, he seems to be a dude who just... He's a Russian nationalist, right? So there's this dynamic in Russia that we have a very, very soft version of in Canada, where, like, he's a Russian nationalist. He believes in a strong, united Russia, and that's, like, a very passionate thing he cares deeply about. We kind of have it a little bit in Canada with our, like, French-English thing, right? Think about that dynamic in Canada, where, like, the French people... in Canada often talk about separating. They talk about being their own country, but there's a lot of, many of us want Canada to be one nation. We think Canada should be strong. Sure. Russia has that same dynamic, except it's way bigger and more fragmented. There's, like, way more minorities. Like, this is places like Chechnya, which you maybe have heard of, has, like, a Muslim minority, right? And there's been lots of wars fought over Chechnya every time they try to separate, as well as, like, parts of the Ukraine have Russian people living there, but they're part of a different country, right? So there's this political idea that all ethnic Russians should be in
Russia,
the country Russia, and the country Russia should include them, right? That's part of why they
invaded
Ukraine, exactly.
Right, because that was sort of Putin's defense, right?
Yeah.
Is like, our people
we're protecting Russians
been looking
who live
for
in,
this for a long time.
Exactly. Yeah. And Putin, he cares a lot about a strong Russia, not about communism, but about the country being strong. And he's so intense about loyalty, stability, and, like, order and things like that. He's, like, really old school. He's kind of like a scary dad. Like, he reminds me of an old school scary dad of a dude where, like, she shows, like, no affection. He's, like, super cold, apparently. He stays in the shadows. He just wanted, and he does his work, and he never seemed very ambitious. Like, he never was a politician until super late in the game. But he just, like, did his work and wanted Russia to be strong. And in the end, the way he did that was he, like, seized the reins of the country. And, like, he's like, the country's going to be fucking strong now.
Right. Hence all his, like, photos riding bears naked and stuff like that.
Oh, I know. And that's, like, he's a fucking crazy dude. Like, he's been a black belt in judo since he was, like, 18.
Wow.
And would, like, get in fights with people as a young man. Like, would be, like... He was in Moscow at the KGB training school and then, like, went back to St. Petersburg, where he's from, on, like, a trip and, like, got in, like, a street fight and beat up, like, four guys. And he's small, right? But he apparently
How tall is he?
I don't know how tall he actually is. Let's look that up.
Yeah.
He's infamously small.
Wow. I always had the vibe off him that he was about, like, 6 foot.
Yeah, he seems big, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's always riding bears and horses.
People always talk about him being small.
Yeah.
Oh, this is so fucking embarrassing.
Maybe not.
Google's
like
giving
Napoleon.
It to me in meters, and I don't know what it means.
Oh, no. Goddamn metric system.
Oh, my God. Okay, why is it that we use feet and inches for height?
I think clearly because the states use it. And so we, you know, that's what they say.
Kilometers?
I think because...
He's 5.5 feet tall.
5.5?
He's 5'5".
Jesus, Tom Cruise towers over.
Yeah, he's like not quite 5'6".
5'5".
But there's stories of him like getting in fights with drunk dudes on the street when he's like in his 20s, 30s, where he would like judo flip guys, like drunk dudes who were chirping him on the street and shit like that. So he's like, he got in fights.
Are they real stories or are these like perpetuated from his people?
I don't know. His people
he killed 7 men with a bottle cap.
His people don't really... put stories like that forward. Like I read his official bio on the Kremlin website and it's so weird and sparse and hilarious and talks so much about animal conservation and like almost nothing at all about his family.
He loves animals. I see the videos I looked up of him are mostly looking at like baby leopards that belong to his government and stuff like that. And he like I swear it's the only video footage of him at all that like looks caring and thoughtful. Yeah. Where he's looking down at this baby leopard like, yes, you like, live because I allow you to.
Like, so like, get this shit too. Apparently, Hillary Clinton, who was the Secretary of State, Barack Obama's first Secretary of State, right? So she's like the main foreign affairs person in America from 2008 to 12, went to Russia, and apparently Putin heard she liked elephants, so he took her into this like basement hunting lodge that had all these like elephant heads on the wall, which is like such a like thing that a fucking alien wearing a human skin would do, you know, like it's so
close.
Do you
like these elephants?
So close to what a human would do, but and yet so far.
Yeah. Was that like, yeah, was that meant to appeal to her love of elephants, or was that meant to be like, all these things you love, I made them die myself?
No, like,
I judo flipped them on the street.
Like, it has that vibe. It's like,
impressive.
It's
like, only a 5 foot five man.
You see this puma? I broke this puma's neck. I heard you love pumas. Yeah.
Exactly.
But no, it's like, apparently, like, the reports from Russia said that he meant it as like a friendly gesture.
Right.
Which,
Yeah. To me, that's like a bully being brought to the principal's office for beating up a fellow student and being like, I was just trying to hug him and his head popped.
Yeah.
You know, like, it doesn't. I'm like, it how doesn't. Can you be a human being and think, oh, she likes elephants? Yeah. Boy, have I got an idea.
It's got that.
Here's
kind
my
of like,
collection of elephant heads.
It's got that, like, Lenny from Of Mice and Men kind of thing. It's like, this is why we can't have nice days. It's like the little rabbit. He's like, he breaks its neck. He's just trying to hold it, you know? Like,
exactly.
He's just super misunderstood.
Lenny meant to the whole fucking time.
Yeah.
He was showing his strength.
Yeah. There's a crazy story of Putin when he's in the KGB. He bounced around a lot, a couple different places, but he ended up in Dresden in Germany. Mm. He speaks very good German, and he's been studying it since he was a young person, young teen.
Yeah.
And it was not a great assignment. Like, this is what I mean, is he was not a remarkable person for a very long time, for most of his life. Right. He was like a totally...
Except about speaking fluent German
and
16
judo,
and having
judo flipping Russian dudes.
Judo,
yeah. But he was not like a notable. Like, he was he was a mid-level guy in the other KGB office in Germany. Because the big KGB office in Germany was in East Berlin, right? So he's not even in that one. He's in like the Oshawa office of the fucking KGB, right?
Right.
For anyone who doesn't live in Toronto, he's like in the New Jersey office of the KGB. He's at the Newark Airport of the KGB in Germany, right?
Right.
But there's this, after the wall came down, there's this story about Putin where the German people, especially the East Germans, were like starting to occupy and seize buildings that had been like government buildings, and especially the buildings of the Stasi, who were like the secret police in East Germany, right? They're despised, you know, they would make people inform on each other and would be imprison people and abduct you with a, you know, and put you away forever. All the shit that you kind of think of when you think of like a totalitarian regime, secret police, they did that stuff.
Right. And but they're so, like, we weren't taking people. We were just showing them our room full of elephant heads.
Yeah, that's right. They loved it so much. They wanted to be up there.
Yeah. They wanted
that's
to stay
for their
him.
Head is here. You said you loved your dad.
Yeah.
Here's a room where your dad's head is on the wall.
Yeah.
Aren't you
welcome.
Happy? Are these tears of joy? So people in East Germany hated the Stasi so much they were like storming and seizing Stasi offices and like grabbing all the documents and shit, and people and the higher ups were so freaked out by how fast everything was crumbling that in a lot of cases they just kind of let people do it, like they flirted briefly with like, you know, shooting at them and shit, but there were the mobs were so huge in a lot of cases, and certainly in East Berlin, that they just let them do it. They just let them seize these
everything.
Places because there was like thousands and thousands of people trying to get into these secret police buildings.
Right.
So
wouldn't it be funny if they all seized the documents and found out they're just like recipes? The Stasi had been collecting the world's greatest supply of recipes.
Oh, it's just a bunch of shitty dudes wasting time at work, like running out the clock.
Yeah.
Just like doodles. It's like only doodles of like their boss with like getting kicked in the butt.
Yeah. Yeah, take that, German boss.
Anyway, so in Dresden, the German people seize the Stasi place that's in Dresden, and then about like 20 or 30 dudes are outside the KGB office too, which is locked up, and they're like kind of like, you know, talking like they're gonna try to get in, right, like they have in all these other places, right?
Oh, is this the Putin Ra story?
This is the Putin Ra story.
Okay,
like and so. It's a weird vibe between the KGB and the Stasi. They both have offices there, but they're separate. And they spy on each other, and they also help each other spy on other people. So it's real weird. Anyway, so there's like 20 or 30 dudes who want to like storm the KGB office. And it's locked up, and they're kind of getting up the courage. And apparently Putin has no orders from Russia about what to do about this. But he knows that he has all these documents that have like who their agents are, who's been collaborating with them against the Stasi, against the German people, then all that data, like that's the kind of stuff that people are grabbing so they can learn who informants are. And they're like, you know, like punishing these people. They're like beating them up and they're pissed at them. And so he knows that he, you know, these are the people that he's been responsible for because he's the intelligence officer, one of them, who's like recruiting and managing these people, these informants. So he just makes this decision alone. Apparently, he goes out. He walks out of the building. Takes off his shirt. Tears an elephant's head off and just screams at the top of his lungs. No, apparently he goes out ice cold alone.
Yeah.
I've heard that he didn't even take his gun. He just walked out there alone to the gate where the guys were and said, apparently without any emotion, completely reasonably and calmly, he was like, every window in this office is full of Russian soldiers, and they all have orders to shoot if any of you come in here. So if you come in, we'll kill you all. And then he turned around and walked back in the building, and the crowd dispersed. And he saved the office from being stormed just by telling them. And he bluffed. Apparently, he totally bluffed.
Yeah.
Those people were not, there were no dudes with guns.
Right. It's just him
and
a pile of elephant heads.
Yeah. That's right. The dudes looked at Putin alone walking back, and then they looked at like the entire safari full of animals impaled on like spikes in the courtyard. No, so apparently he like saved all the documents in this KGB, and then they got them out of Germany, took them back to Russia. I mean, like,
he's a hero.
It's a cool story.
Wow. I thought I was going to learn about Putin, and I did. Yeah. I've had him wrong this whole time.
You know what? Putin's an okay guy.
Yeah, he's a hero.
You know what, Putin? For God's sake. We may think different things, but I'd have a beer with that guy.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Wow, that is raw.
Yeah. It's a pretty raw story.
That's badass.
So,
And so that was where he worked. He worked in East Germany. And then... how old was he? I guess he... Yeah, how old is he now?
50? He's in his late 50s. Maybe he's 60. Let's look that up.
So this all happened when he was about 40 years old.
Yeah, he would have been in his late 30s.
Was earlier than
late
that.
30s.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, and like... Yo, he's 64.
Gorbachev. Now. Wasn't Gorbachev the president of East Germany?
Yeah, Gorbachev was the president of Russia. The last like...
Wait, who's the... Tear down this wall. Reagan?
Yeah.
Who is he talking to?
Gorbachev.
Gorbachev. Gorbachev made the wall.
Well, no, he didn't make it.
No. Well, we know in next week's episode.
Yeah, that's right. Gorbachev was the last president of the USSR. He was the president when the USSR like fell apart. Right. That's why he's famous.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just like that.
Right. What authority did Gorbachev have over the wall?
Well, East Germany is technically its own country, but it's part of the USSR, right? The USSR holds together all of these different countries.
Right. Back to the like Russians living in Germany and
Ukraine. Yeah, and it wasn't even that. At that point, it wasn't about ethnic Russians. It was about the East versus the West, right?
Holy shit. People are going to be listening to this and being like, what do you mean Jamie's not a dum-dum? No, anything. Yeah, you're not wrong.
No, man, I bet you'll be pleasantly surprised by how many people don't know this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so, like, and there's all these other really interesting stories about Putin where, like, he is a pretty cold, ruthless dude who, like, gets in fights and is, like, dull and boring. That's what people say about him. But, like, he's super honest. Like, right. So he goes back to St. Petersburg after everything falls apart, and he gets a job in the mayor of St. Petersburg's office. Or he gets a job, well, it's before he gets elected mayor, but the guy who becomes the mayor of St. Petersburg, which is a huge deal because it's like the second biggest city in Russia. So after the mayor Moscow. Of St. Petersburg is very a huge political figure after Moscow, right? And he's the KGB guy working for the mayor, which is like kind of on the down low, but also sort of everybody knows.
Right. Is it the FSB at this point or the KGB?
It's not the FSB yet. It's still the KGB at this point.
Right.
His job is he helps. He's like part of the team that starts businesses coming into Russia. Mm-hmm. So there's all this corruption, all this crazy shit going on. He signs all these contracts that are bad contracts. These deals all go like horribly wrong. And yet he doesn't make any money off of it himself. Like he doesn't seem to be corrupt. In fact, one of the businessmen from this era who's like a major Russian massive billionaire businessman guy.
Oh, yes. I've heard about this guy.
Yeah.
Continue.
He said that Vladimir Putin was the only bureaucrat he ever encountered who refused to take a bribe. And it was so weird, he always remembered it. He straight up refused to be bribed.
And this guy can be trusted because he was later like kicked out of Russia, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's right. He was kind of on the
outs.
So
we can we can take his word as pretty good because him and Putin aren't besties.
Yeah. It should also be said that like this businessman had a failed assassination against him, which was a huge political scandal right when Vladimir Putin became the president. And right. then all and like it all came out because some KGB agents or FSB agents at this point probably were told to kill him again, and they refused to do it and went over to him and like outed the whole plot to kill him. Whoa. A second time.
What happened to those FSB agents?
Well, Putin Trumbling. Was pretty pissed at them. Putin was pissed. He fired them all. I mean, I don't know if I don't know what ended up happening to them, but he was fucking pissed at them. He was pissed. Yeah, right.
Yeah,
into
right. The
they were actually their heads were in the elephant heads that Hillary Clinton saw. Yeah. Sort of like a Russian doll situation.
Yeah,
that's actually how Russian dolls were invented.
Yeah, they just, it's like not wearing underwear to a meeting. Where you're like, ooh, I have a secret nobody knows. He's got the heads of former FSB agents inside the elephant heads, and he's laughing to himself while Hillary Clinton sits there horrified.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. But there's this crazy story, though. We're like...
What's this businessman's name? Do we know?
Oh, I was just reading it. I can literally pull it up here.
I don't know. But it's got a V in it.
Berezovsky.
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 Yeah. Okay, yeah. I was reading about him.
There was this thing...
Putin, really great guy. Didn't take a bribe. Tried to murder me while I was sleeping.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't... I don't think it was Putin that
But then he
that
sent
hit.
His guys, and they told me that they were going to do it.
Yeah. Putin didn't order the hit by all... Actually, Putin... And this is the thing. When Putin became the head of the FSB... Yeah, the hit was put out in 97, and Putin only became the head of the FSB, like, a year or two later. Right. But when Putin became the head of the FSB, he did really, like, white bread normal shit. Like, he just, like... He reduced the size. He fired 2,000 people. It was like we went from the 6,000 people to 4,000 people.
Whoa.
So because he was trying to like balance the budget, and they were all pissed at him for that.
Sure.
And then he at the time in Russia, the economy was so bad. Government employees often weren't getting paid. All their wages were in arrears. So he like got them all paid. And then then the ones who were left were like happy about that. So like that's why people liked him at first, is because Russia was like such a fucking mess. And he was like, he's like one of the first things he did when he was appointed the president, when Boris Yeltsin resigned before he was elected, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is he like increased the size of everyone's pensions.
Right.
And they were like, holy shit, a normal good thing happened to us. It was so like novel that like a fucking boring ass normal thing with your pension could happen, that's why they liked him. He was the guy who was like stable, you know?
That's why I think, you know, what makes Vladimir Putin kind of scary actually is that he is an effective leader as well as being all sort of powerful in Russia. Like, you know, as opposed to King Jong Il who had a Olympic basketball stadium that nobody ever that the Chicago Bulls played one game in or whatever.
Yeah.
Which is an immense waste of money. So we all go, what a dum-dum. You know, he's in charge of the whole country, but spends the money so poorly, and no wonder they're in debt. But like, the thing that makes Vladimir Putin so scary is that he's, from what you're saying, seems like an effective manager.
Yeah. Like, Vladimir Putin, okay, so Russia is, Russia is, in this situation, Russia is that girl we had, we all had a crush on in high school who was, like, super cool and fun. And
or
like,
boy.
And full of life. Or boy. I mean, specifically you and I.
Yeah.
Or boy.
Or boy.
Or boy.
Yeah.
He's right here. But, okay, so Russia's that girl who you thought was so cool, who you were so into, who, like, totally ended up settling for some dude with a steady job because it was going to be, like, a good, safe life for them. Right. And then, like, that dude turned out to be horrifying the second shit got locked in and boring. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's kind of a little bit what happened here.
I sort of know what you mean, but there is some girl somewhere listening to this that knows exactly what you mean and is like, he's talking about me.
It's like,
what's wrong with Brad?
Yeah. The Russian people were so hungry for somebody to just make their country fucking work on a basic level that... And Putin was totally the best dude for that job at the time. But the thing is, then the other parts of Putin are that he, like, hates dissent and disloyalty and things that he perceives as disloyalty and dissent. And so he's created a state with, like, maximum, the most stability he can possibly have, and, like, squishing out all the dissent and disloyalty. It is a dictatorship, right? The only real democratic election Russia ever had was the 2001 where he was, or the last, sorry, the last democratic election they had was the 2001 where he first got elected. And ever since then, he's been exerting so much influence over the elections that it's not a democracy anymore.
Right. And so, okay, which brings us, I think, to the next point of, like, what Putin wants.
Yeah.
Like, what is his end game, as best as we can decipher, based on his steps to this moment? Mm-hmm. Because he seems pretty secretive, as you said. He seems pretty officious. Mm-hmm. What, based on what he's done, do we think, like, his end game? Like, what's his 10-year plan?
He wants, like, again, I am a fucking dude who read some Googles. I think he wants just this strong Russia. He wants Russia to be as powerful and unified and tight a country as it possibly can. And I think that's why dissenting voices drive him nuts, is because all he sees is the fact that they're weakening, like, the strength of the country, right? The team, it's like he wants Russia to be like the rowdiest fucking sports team. He wants them to be like the Golden State Warriors, except they win the championship instead of losing it. You know what I mean? Like, he wants it to be this crazy team that fires on all cylinders and is so tight and everyone thinks the same thing, which is, like, totally robot fascism, right? But, like, so I think he wants Russia to be stronger economically. He wants all the ethnic Russians to be part of Russian territory. He wants to have strong economic relations with all the countries that he can, and have those relations enrich Russia as much as possible so that Russia has more resources and can be more powerful. Like, I don't think he wants to, quote, take over the world, but I think he wants Russia to keep growing and getting stronger as much as possible, right?
Right, right.
And so, I mean, part of what I think you're asking, too, is about this whole America thing.
Yeah, yeah, so, because he seems to have taken a very special interest in the U.S.
So here's something that isn't talked about a lot for some reason in this whole thing. Putin and Hillary Clinton fucking hate each other. It's, like, super personal.
Right.
They despise each other.
Right. Like in House of Cards.
Yeah. Right. It's like, and to the point where it's like, it doesn't surprise me at all that Putin wouldn't want Hillary Clinton to win the presidency. Not because Donald Trump is his puppet, because he fucking hates Hillary Clinton. He just thinks she sucks. Right. Like, because Hillary was the Secretary of State in 2008, which was when Medvedev, the other guy, was elected president of Russia.
Right.
Right. So then Clinton, Hillary Clinton did this thing, because this was also the year Obama got elected, right? So Russia had a new president and America had a new president the same year, 2008. And there was a big deal that U.S.-Russia relationships were going to finally become really good and normal, because there was, like, all this
new fresh blood.
Yeah, new blood. And Hillary Clinton did this, like, really shitty publicity stunt where she went over and had this press conference with the Russian foreign affairs guy where they had, like, a button that said reset on it, and they like pressed the reset button together, except it said reset in English, and then the Russian accidentally said overload. Like there's like a typo. Like they wrote the fucking, they like Google translated the wrong word and built the wrong props. So they pressed this stupid reset button, and we're supposed to have this reset. Anyway, all the shit that happens during this presidency. Overload. Yeah, I know, right? All this shit that happens during Medvedev's presidency, Putin does not like it. He does not like the way that Medvedev works with the U.S. and the way that Hillary Clinton is in with Russia. One of the major things that he's pissed about is, I don't know if you remember this, in the U.S. intervened in Libya when Libya was having a really horrible civil war to like get rid of the dictator's name was Gaddafi.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Do you remember this?
Oh, yeah.
So the U.N. intervened. It was a U.N. peacekeeping operation. Russia has a veto on the UN Security Council. So they could have been like, no, you can't do this mission. But Medvedev didn't use his veto. He allowed the mission to go ahead. And Putin thought that was really fucked up that he allowed the US to go interfere.
Is Putin like good pals with Gaddafi or something like that?
Well, I think that he just thought it was, like what I've heard is that he thought it was fucked up that they weren't letting a country figure its own shit out. That right. The U.S. was like, no, we like these people in the country and not this guy, so we're going to go shoot this guy and let these people win.
Sure.
Right? This was also...
Hasn't that always been the U.S.'s answer?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, 100%, yeah. Absolutely.
Shoot the big guy.
Absolutely. This
hopefully
has happened.
The rest
they have done this so
out.
Many times, but Russia had a chance to stop them in this case and didn't. I mean, that's the way that Putin sees it. And also, Libya was, like, the hugest fucking debacle of the Obama administration. It was, like, a pretty horrendous disaster. Anyway, fast forward to 2012, the end of Medvedev's, the election where Medvedev's up for re-election again, and Putin decides to run for president again.
Yeah,
and you know he's doing all this Putin stuff where he's like suppressing dissent and the election's looking kind of rigged, right?
Sure.
And Hillary Clinton is like super vocal. She's like, "This Russian election's bullshit. Like this is rigged. You know, it's not a thing." And there were huge protests in Russia against Putin, and Putin personally blamed Hillary Clinton for causing all these protests. He was like, Hillary Clinton, like, it's her fault that people are protesting against me. And remember, he hates disorder, right? So he hated that these protests happened, and he blamed Hillary Clinton 4 years before this election for causing these protests and for making people suspicious of him and stuff like that. Even that, you know, it's like deserved.
Right.
But that's part of why he wouldn't want her to be president. He extremely dislikes her.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's part of it. The other thing is that she doesn't like him very much either. And if she's the president of the U.S., he's going to have a tough fucking time doing any of his shit because she hates him and he hates her.
Deal with her,
right?
All the time.
So it's like if you have a choice between somebody working with somebody who you guys fucking hate each other or working with some other person, which one do you pick, right? If you have a choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not even specifically that it's Trump. Like it could have actually been like a pencil
crayon. I bet
crayon.
They would have attempted to intervene for any Republican.
Right.
I honestly bet that.
Right. Oh, interesting. Isn't that interesting?
Because he hates Hillary Clinton. And also, I mean, like, I don't know if Trump is a Russian agent. I think Trump is way too stupid to be a Russian agent.
Yeah. I feel like, like he'd be the last picked on my team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Like, I don't think it goes like that. I mean, Russia has been intervening in elections.
It is also like
digitally.
a bigger slap in the face to Hillary Clinton to lose to Donald Trump than like Jeb Bush.
Oh my God!
Like, so that's like even just a way better wedgie for bully Putin to give Hillary Clinton.
Oh yeah, I'm sure Putin, like the day that Hillary Clinton lost that election, was like, I'm sure he did the like Hugh Grant Love Actually dance. It was like, jump for my love, jump in. And he was like in his fucking underwear, just like doing the twist with no facial expression though, I bet. Like this is my image. He's like completely dead eyes, but he's like pelvis is gyrating so hard. And like you see him reflected in like glass eye of an elephant head mounted on the wall as he's just like shaking it so hard. It's like, I'm coming out. Yeah, that's what it is.
Wow. Okay. Oh, isn't that interesting? Because I feel like everything, all the news and everything I've been digesting lately has been centered solely around like what is Putin and Trump's secret relationship? And I myself have been like, what really like maybe Trump would be easy to manipulate for Putin or something like that, but I don't really see him being easy to work with either.
Well, like, ignore the idea that Trump is a Russian agent at all.
Yeah.
And it's like, you have to pick, you're Russia, you're against the U.S., you got to pick who's going to lead the U.S. if you can help sway it. Like, Trump will just be a worse president than Hillary. He will be, like, less focused. Like, he has to do, like, he has to spend all this time repealing Obamacare and, like, making abortions illegal.
Right.
Like, you know, like, they have to do all this weird domestic shit, like, that's basically, like, the new American Civil War. Are they going to be focusing on what you do to the election in Moldova? Probably not that hard, right? Like, especially because now there's all this weirdness about the CIA. Like, all these Republican right-wing people are, like, not trusting the CIA anymore.
Yeah.
And, like, that's to Russia's advantage, even if Trump isn't an agent. You know what I mean? Like, if you can, like, make America distrust the CIA, give them, like, a shitty leader who's going to spend all this time, like, trying to put women in like, fucking, like, old school neck cages and, like, you know, keep them in the fucking Walmart on shelves and shit, like, yeah, then you can, like, be like, I'm going to just take a little bit more of the Ukraine. No one gives a fuck because Donald Trump is too busy.
Look over there at what this psycho is doing.
Yeah, he's too busy rage tweeting about how his stupid fucking reality show gets more views than the Bachelor.
Yeah,
you know, like, that's what he cares about. He cares about his fucking TV. He tweet bragged about how his ratings were better than Arnold Schwarzenegger's when he was hosting The Celebrity Apprentice as opposed to Schwarzenegger's. Like, if that's what the president cares about and they don't care about, like,
That funny? I didn't know Schwarzenegger hosted The Celebrity Apprentice.
He is now. Now that Trump's the fucking president.
Isn't that funny that a politician went into The Celebrity Apprentice and a Celebrity Apprentice host went into politics?
It is funny.
I guess it is a very clear pathway
of
hosting a reality show into The Celebrity Apprentice.
Well, especially now.
Yeah, it's like a weird... I auditioned for the host of Big Brother Canada a number of years ago, and it's a horrifying idea for me that qualifies me
to be
a politician.
A politician, yeah.
Yeah, that, like, had I just, like, smiled more
and
nailed it, that, like, 10 years from now, I could be running Canada.
Yeah. Or, like, not even smile more. Like, if you were, like, a big, moody dingus who just said any dumb shit that came across his head, like, that could qualify you to be a politician.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, okay, okay. Well, you know what? If I've learned anything, the one of the most valuable things, I think, is about Putin and Hillary's relationship.
Yeah.
Because that really colors everything differently.
They know each other.
And makes me a lot calmer with regard to Trump being president. Not that I'm welcoming it.
Still going
to
be horrid.
It's still going to be horrifying. But at least, you know, I've been thinking so much about the Russian involvement in this election and all that and what that means. And I've been, like, anticipating a, you know, sleeper cell Russian contingent of one day all of the CIA and FBI is going to wake up and they're taking orders from Putin somehow.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
But that
that's not going to happen.
Right. But that is what YouTube would have me believe.
Yeah, people are fucking idiots. Like, honestly, I think this is, you know, this is not, this opinion is not unique to me. I didn't invent this by myself.
Right.
I've gotten this from smarter people than me. But honestly, the Russian fixation in the left, the like centrists and the Democrat obsession with the Russian thing is entirely a way to not admit that they fucking lost the easiest election to win in American history.
Right.
They were so deeply bad at their jobs that they choked and threw an election that absolutely was theirs to win. And they did it by being a bunch of out of touch, like, oligarchy bubble people weirdos.
Yeah, I was watching Seth Meyers the other day, and that Kellyanne
Conway,
Trump's campaign manager, was on there.
Yeah,
and she, I don't really like her. She said something that I was like, oh, you know, that has some spice on it, which was Hillary's main. She said, you know, I defy you to tell me what Hillary's message was in the campaign beyond "I'm not Donald Trump."
That was fucking exactly it.
Yeah.
Because the truth is that her message was like, we can all keep patting ourselves on the back that I'm a woman, and then I will continue to enrich all the major corporations and like funnel money to the richest 1% of this country who control almost all of the wealth, like I have, like we have been for the last 30 years, you know. And she offered nothing of substance to the people of America. That's the honest truth. Her policy, she offered nothing interesting for people to vote for, and so they mostly just didn't vote at all. Like, that's what happened.
Right.
They just did not show up for her. It's not that they voted for Trump. They just didn't show up for her because she was an uninspiring candidate who promised more of the same.
Right.
You know, like around the time of the American election, Flint, Michigan had poison water. Like, you know, there's like people with poison water, and Hillary Clinton is saying America is already great. It's like, no, you got to tell the poison water people that the shit's going to get fixed. You got to offer them something or else you're fucked.
Right.
Lo and behold.
So I'm going to pull us back to Putin here, because I feel like the impression I have is I want to know a little bit about what makes him bad, aside from being kind of a cold fella, because right now, well, and I guess he's silencing the media and winning elections based on corruption and so on and so forth. But what I know about his policies, from what I've learned in this conversation, is that he's sort of effective. And so, what is it that Garry Kasparov takes umbrage with?
Right. Okay. So it's important to note he's not.
Garry Kasparov is the greatest chess player who ever lived. Yes. For those of you that don't know, he is Russian and is now living in the United States.
So I don't want to misrepresent his effectiveness.
Or Britain or something. I'm sorry. I don't know. I don't know answers to any questions. That's why this show is named what it is. He doesn't live in Russia anymore.
So Putin, he seemed like the guy who was going to stabilize everything, and to some extent, he did bring stability. The economy in Russia has not been awesome the last little while, because part of it is they're like us. A huge part of if their economy is good or not depends on the price of oil. And like how in Alberta the price of oil has been really low and it's been really fucking shit up, that happens to Russia too.
Okay.
Shit's bad in Russia when the price of oil is low, and shit has been bad. And also, there's been sanctions on Russia because of their attacks on Ukraine. So there's people not trading with them and stuff like that. So actually, things have been pretty bad economically in Russia.
Mm.
And so Putin is not fixed everything. That's not true. He literally was the dude who like was so boring he would do the pensions,
right?
You know, like when everything else was going to shit, right? So that's why people liked him at first. Since then, though, like, he will put your ass in prison if you protest against him, right? Like, remember Pussy Riot?
Yeah.
So Pussy Riot were in jail. They're a band who was put in jail for for making music where they said he was a fucking asshole.
Do they still live in Russia?
Yeah, they're still there. They're still making music, I think.
Wow.
Actually,
they just released a music video about old Donald Trump there.
Yeah. I think the ones who are still Pussy Riot live in Russia because they're anonymous, right? The people who are from Pussy Riot who have names and who are like public figures are not part of Pussy Riot anymore, and I think they might be in other countries.
Oh, okay.
Oh my God, this might be wrong. Please don't tweet me, Pussy Riot fans, or do and correct me. That's the name of the game, I guess.
Yeah, now write it in the comments. If we're ever wrong about anything, or rather, if Richard is wrong,
because
I really offer very little information.
If
either of us are wrong about anything, just throw it in the comments or a tweet, or, you know, get angry. I think that's how Trump won the election. So, you know. Up is down and down is up.
Yeah,
that's
please,
what I say.
Please tweet me your all caps rants about the Celebrity Apprentice ratings. So like he, you know, it would be like if you tried to run against Justin Trudeau, and then like every single time somebody tried to run against Justin Trudeau, there was like a series of news reports about how they were all having sex with prostitutes, and you know, then all the people who showed up to their rallies were like, you know, followed home and put in jail and stuff like that. And then also, you know, it's not a free culture anymore.
Right.
And a lot of injustice and human suffering comes from that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of like terror and spiritual despair comes from living in that kind of a culture. And that's what people react against. Like, it's like stability, but at what cost?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I see, I see.
I mean, and there's probably other things that are wrong too that I just didn't Google. Like, yeah. Please, please also, you know, inform us of why Vladimir Putin is horrible. I'd love to hear it.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. I feel like I've learned a great deal about Vladimir Putin.
Hey.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you for reading so much, Richard.
You're welcome, Jamie.
And thank you, everyone, for listening. This has been our first podcast of Explain It to Jamie.
Yeah.
And I hope it's the first of many.
I don't know. I feel like I should say, like, if people want to propose topics to, maybe, like, hit us on the Twitter.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
At Explain Jamie, I think.
Yeah.
And or you can email us at explainittojamie@gmail.com.
Yeah, and we will soon have a website and soon be up on SoundCloud, which I think there's a comment bar on there. So, you know, any way that you feel like this will get to them, I'd say take a swing. I think it'll work.
Yeah, tell us how we're wrong about everything.
Tell us how we're wrong. Tell us how we're right. Tell us how we're changing the game. Follow, share, and this is us signing out on our first podcast ever.